Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Deaf Not Dumb is a new documentary that explores the challenges of deaf education in Ireland. Now, through personal stories of deaf children and their parents, the documentary highlights the historical issues that have prevented deaf people from reaching their full academic potential and how this might look going forward. Now, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Orla Freeman, who's 8-year-old, 9-year-old now, just turned 9, own features in the documentary. Orla, thanks for coming in, first of all. You're very welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, Jen. I had the most peaceful trip up here. I didn't have to do the school run.
Yeah. Did you get yourself a little coffee?
I did.
Isn't that joyous?
And I drank it and it was warm to the last drop.
Because you have 3 kids, is that right?
Yes, 3 boys. So we have a 13-year-old Rory, 11-year-old Dara, and then, of course, Owen, now 9.
Owen is 9. Okay. Well, let's talk about Owen for a second. Can we start by asking your first reaction when you sat down with a consultant and you were told of Owen's hearing difficulties? Mm-hmm. When was that? How did you react? How did you cope with that news?
Yeah. So Owen was born on the 18th of November in 2014, and he had the newborn screening test, which was done by the bedside. And I hadn't this with my other 2 boys. So this was all new, but I was third time mom, extremely confident, fire away, do the test. And he failed it, didn't think anything of it, went home, and he failed a second one. A couple of weeks later, and then we were sent to the audiologist and they said, there are some hearing difficulties here.
As a baby.
So wow. Literally when he was about 3 weeks old, the audiologist was concerned that he hadn't responded to high frequency, low frequencies. There was nothing. But again, I think I just thought, you know, this doesn't happen to us. We have 2 other children. There's no deaf
people. Was there a history?
Nope.
Wow.
No deaf people in our family at all. And, you know, I need enough cringe saying that Owen was the first deaf person we ever met, because I don't know how I went through 33 years of life and my husband Shane, 40 years of life, and never met a deaf person, because now it is our world.
Yeah.
And it is a beautiful world. So it was coming up to Christmas and they said, right, you can go and see the consultant. And I said, no, it's fine. I'm going to wait till Christmas is over and we'll see him after Christmas. So I really wasn't concerned. I just didn't think anything was going on. So I thought, okay, hearing us, okay, he might just be able to hear out of one ear. This is how I even spoke, layman terms. And we went back and the consultant said to us, your baby has a bilateral profound hearing loss. Now, at the time, I wanted to say, oh, I'm okay with this. I'm fine. You know, he's perfect. But looking back, I know I was in shock, because I asked the question, what's bilateral? What's that mean? He said, both ears. And I went, okay. And when you say profound hearing loss, like, what does that mean exactly? Can you hear something? Oh, you'll have to put it on a scale for me. And I said, 1 being perfect hearing, 10 being hearing nothing at all. And even saying that, that doesn't make sense, does it? That's just should have been the other way around. And he said, he has a hearing loss that's 9++. I can't tell you 10, because you're going to have to go to Beaumont, to the cochlear implant system for that. He said, a jumbo jet could be beside his ear right now and he won't hear it. And I just was like, what? So yeah, it was shock. Yeah.
I can imagine. Mm-hmm. I can imagine. So you find yourself on this road that you've never been down before. It's all quite new, quite shocking. You're dealing with your own emotions as mm-hmm. well. Now, Owen uses an implant. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Can you tell me about that? When did he get that?
Yeah, so Owen has a cochlear implant and he would have had the surgery when he was 14 months old. Now, a cochlear implant is basically a high-tech device that bypasses the parts of the ear that don't work. So it literally, we have hearing hairs in our cochlea, which then triggers the nerve in the brain to send the signal, sound signals.
Look at you, you've learned a lot in the last couple of years, haven't you? My God.
I know. 9 years ago, I didn't even know what profound was.
Yes.
I know. So Owen was actually born with underdevelopments. So he has no nerve on the left and a tiny, tiny nerve on the right side.
Okay.
And his cochlea, we'd have 2.5 turns in a cochlea where all our hearing hairs are. Owen only has a basal turn. So it was never going to be a success for him, but thanks to the team Beaumont, they gave him every opportunity and went ahead with the surgery. But we were told at a very early stage, you know, this won't be a success for him. The best he will get is environmental sounds. He won't get the clarity that other children get. You better learn sign language. But thankfully, we were already on that train and didn't need to be told to learn sign language.
Okay.
We took it up at an early stage.
Let's talk about sign language. Was that a task in itself? How did you find that experience?
Oh, God, I get emotional even thinking about this journey because it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Sign language. So when we went to the consultant, first question I asked was, what do I do now? Do I learn sign language? And he said, oh, no, that's a thing of the past. And it didn't sit right with me. You know, that, like, my husband, Jane's a French teacher. He loves languages. I worked in communications. I'm like, but he needs a language.
Yeah.
So I wasn't thinking about speech. I was thinking he needs a language. So we went to a newly diagnosed weekend that Chime organises for families that have just been diagnosed. And it was the turning point of our lives, really. We met wonderful families and we met a particular child that was profoundly deaf, that her cochlear implant didn't work. And she was about 9. And she took a shine to Owen and she signed the whole weekend with Owen. And I seen his reaction and he was full of life and she was amazing. And she was deaf. Her father couldn't read, but he was hearing. And she used to sign the newspaper to him every morning. And it was just amazing. I thought, wow, how can I ever, like, so this consultant said I didn't need to learn sign language, but how do I ever meet people like my son and not know how to sign? I felt like it was a vocation as a deaf parent to a deaf child to learn sign language. So we left that weekend and we signed up straight away for lessons. But later we were told that we would need it. So maybe it was fate. Maybe it was all aligned.
When you saw that 9-year-old girl, did you ever think you would be in a similar situation? Did you ever look at that and go, oh my God, it's so beautiful how she communicates. Mm. It's so natural and gorgeous. Mm. And here you are. Yeah. You know, with a 9-year-old in the same situation.
I think I left that day saying, I have to learn it for other children.
Yeah.
And on reflection now, why hadn't I said, I have to learn that for my child? Because even if a cochlear implant had been successful completely, he was still going to be in a silent world for 12 months until that surgery happened and switch on happened. And, you know, the language blocks are built in a head when a child is a baby, you know. But did I ever think, I never did, because I had been told, oh, you don't need, it's going to be cochlear implants, it'll be straightforward, he can become a doctor if he wants. You know, the dream, it was big, and I didn't see the hurdles, you know, when I was being told that by the consultant. And now I look at Owen and I think, oh my God, I could write a book with the stories I have about Owen and how he uses sign language and that emotional intelligence he has. Like, honestly, I say he's 9, but like a 49-year-old wouldn't deal with situations like he does.
Completely. Mm. Do you remember that first interaction with him when he was signing as a child, as a toddler?
Oh, yeah, I do remember. I think he was still in the high chair and he must have seen birds. We were sitting outside and he seen birds and he pointed and he tried to kind of communicate verbally with it to make the sound because, you know, we tried to do that. But he signed the word first.
He signed with the bird, two fingers,
with the two
fingers together. And
bird, yeah. Oh. And, you know, light was one of
his first
words,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
And like hello and stuff. Yeah. And you know, that's what I'd say to any parent that's told right now that their baby is deaf. Don't stop talking to them because it's not about what comes out of your mouth. It's everything.
It's everything,
body
else.
Language and everything. So yeah, he's...
Now, education.
Yes.
What did you have concerns? Did you think, okay, this is going to be a tricky road? Do I go? I mean, what were you thinking? I would be thinking, do I need to go to a special school?
Yeah.
Do I need to
yeah.
get a certain teacher? And I said, like, what was going through your head
well,
then?
I suppose our parents had been in their 70s. So there was that tradition of if your child was born deaf, you put them on the train from Mayo to Dublin. And that existed, you know? So that was my fear. How can I let them go? I can't let them go. But we had no choice because there was no deaf units. There was no deaf schools beside us. Where we were in Mayo, I didn't even know any other deaf child that signed that was under 10. I knew no deaf children that signed. So I knew that we had to create an opportunity for him. So I started this very early on and people said I was crazy. It'll be fine. It'll sort itself out. My husband's SSA is the teacher. Our two older boys had already gone through national school. So I knew what was ahead of them. I knew how hard homework was for them two boys. What's it going to be like for Owen? So straight away, I knew we had a great school. and I wanted him to go to that school, but I just didn't want him to manage. You know, I'd seen how intelligent this little boy was. Like, he's two and he's going outside cleaning up the, shoveling up the weeds for the neighbours. You know, he's so clever. He knows how to fix things. And I knew he had so much potential. I understood him, but I needed to make sure that everybody else knew how clever he was. It's not just about the teacher teaching you, but also you need to know what the child knows, how mm-hmm. they can express themselves. Mm-hmm. And really, frankly, I didn't want my school to just manage. I didn't want to throw them into the deep end because they'd never had the experience of a deaf child before. You know, I knew them kids so well, and I didn't want them to have to sacrifice their education either because too much time was spent on Owen.
I hear you. Mm. So what was the solution, so to speak?
The solution, if I was to say Owen, was to be given the best possible opportunity. It was to get somebody to sit beside him literally every day that had a high level of ISL, that could interpret and teach him new vocabulary on a daily basis, and basically that he wouldn't lose out on any opportunities of learning, and that it was literally that the syllabus or the curriculum would be adapted for his needs visually. Yeah.
Now, as we all know, school is not just about the academic side.
No.
Did you fear the social side of it?
Yeah, I did, because I see Owen now, I look through the window, I sit in the car and, oh God, it's just beautiful. It would do so good just to sit and watch. But I know if Owen didn't have that support that he has now in school, he wouldn't be that sociable boy. He wouldn't be the boy that comes out happy. His friends wouldn't know how to interact with him. And like, I know now he has a positive experience of education. And that will carry him throughout his life. Even when he goes into the workplace, he's going to be confident because he's not going to be scarred by memories of isolation or being left alone and nobody understanding him or him not allowed to speak.
Do you think we have a history of deaf people slipping through the net because they didn't have the right opportunities to be integrated into communities and society?
Yeah, I definitely do think, Jen, because there wasn't enough understanding there of what deaf children needed and how they needed to learn. It wasn't that they weren't capable of learning. They were, but they just needed to learn in a different way. And yeah, that did cause a lot of isolation. Yeah.
Is that why the title for this programme is called Deaf, Not Dumb? And it's quite a striking and harsh title, but it's probably there for a reason and to remind people.
When I first saw the title, I even struggled to say the title because of that word. It's a word that's banned in my house.
Yeah.
Like, I don't use it. But I love it because I say, right, see that deaf? That's really highlighted. But see the word dumb? It's kind of fading in the background. And I think after people watch this documentary, all those preconceptions they had about what it is to be deaf are just going to be melted away. And I know in my heart and soul that somebody will get a CV on their desk and the person will have had a hearing loss or a deafness. And trust me, after watching this, I don't think they will overlook that person. They're actually going to see the abilities and what they can actually offer the world.
Has he ever addressed the issue of being deaf with you? Has our conversation, because he's nine now, I mean, has that happened?
Yeah, so when he was about seven, we were lying in bed, and like any other child, we have the chats.
But they're very important, aren't they?
But the great thing is the other two boys don't know we're having the chats because they're in complete silence as we're signing away. So the boys don't know. It's very secret. But he was about seven and we were in bed, and he turned around to me and says, when will I to throw away my cochlear implant? And I said, no, Owen, you will always have your cochlear implant. You're deaf. And he goes, but I want to be like the boys. When will I hear like the boys? And I said, but Owen, you won't. You're deaf. Now, I know that sounds very harsh. And he cried. And I allowed him to cry because I always give Owen time, patience, explain things. I let him cry. And he cried. And then I said, but Owen, it's okay. I said, that's your magic. You're different. And that's your magic. And I said, like, he goes, you love that I'm deaf? And I said, yes, Owen, I love you because you're Owen, but I'm so proud of you because you're deaf. I said, because of you, I've seen lots of lovely people and it's a beautiful word. And he goes, okay, Owen happy now, mommy proud, me deaf. And he said, good girl, Orla, you're the best. Because he calls me Orla sometimes, like he signs it Orla. And he says, you're the best girl. And that was it. And for me, that's what I want to instill in him. I want to him to be proud to be deaf. And, you know, people say, oh, don't define your child. But I'm proud of him to be defined as a deaf person because
he's magic.
He's magic. And I just think he can offer. He's so much to offer the world because he's made it a better place for all of us.
How do you feel about the system going forward, the school system? Can we talk about that for a second?
So going forward, like obviously, and you'll see in the documentary, which I haven't completely seen yet, so I'm dying to see it, but you'll probably see that Owen got the support he needed. Mm-hmm. But there are still children like Owen out there where this role hasn't been rolled out to them and it's been phased. But Owen got it because of medical grounds, but it's not right. Needs and supports like this is not about medical grounds. Why children sign? It's a learning language. And it really needs to be rolled out now because every day is a learning day. Childhood is like a window and these children are losing opportunities, times, and they're on catch up anyway because a deaf child is behind their peers. And we don't even know that because there's no way of outcomes aren't being published or how the cohort of 5,000 deaf children are doing in school. So, yeah, that needs to be rolled out ASAP because I'll tell you the truth, I send on to school every day and there is that bit of guilt to me that I know a mom well and I know a child that's not getting the same peace of mind that I get sending on to school. And that I can't, we pave the way, right? Mm. We pave the way for the parents that are behind us. And I don't think I can even rest fully until it's rolled out. And it works. You need to look after the people that are doing these jobs because there is a need out there. There are people being qualified to do the jobs that are coming from Trinity every year. But look after the people that are doing the jobs so that they want the jobs.
I just got a text in on 51552. I got a lot of texts in, but I just want to read this one out to you. It says, "Hi, Jennifer. Just to say my daughter is deaf. She wears a cochlear implant and on Friday she graduates with an honours degree from Trinity. Their ability is amazing once given the opportunity." That's from Paul. Thank you for sharing your story. I understand now why you did the documentary because it must have been very stressful to have cameras in your house.
Well, I did talk a lot.
You did say to me off air, stop me if I'm waffling. There was nothing waffly about that. It was just, it was so important to hear. And it was so important for you to say. And Owen sounds like a magic little fella. You're very lucky to have him.
We are, definitely.
And if you want to check out this documentary, Deaf, Not Dumb, it's going to be on tomorrow night on RTE1 and the RTE Player at 10:15. Orla, thanks for coming.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.